So how can we improve upon our cold calling skills without having to search high and low for some big answer? Even better, how do we do all this without having to embrace some huge, time-consuming undertaking? This week on the Sales Playbook Podcast, we're going to go there. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 30,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our Cold Calls That Rock webinar. It's going to be coming up this Thursday, September 17th, and I'm going to be giving you all the juicy details at the end of the podcast. If you happen to be impatient like I am, and you'd like to go check it out now, provided that you're not in your car, please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/cold calls. All right, so before we get down to business, I have a bit of an announcement, and it's something that it's a rare opportunity for me to brag and something that I'm just awfully proud of. Today, we hit a very big milestone on the Sales Playbook Podcast. This happens to be the 300th episode. And this year has actually been a really cool year for the podcast, by the way, because we had two milestones this year. We obviously just today hit the 300th episode, but this year we're celebrating the 10 year anniversary of the podcast. So, you know, I really have to remember my manners and thank you guys for encouraging me every step along the way. And if you could, the absolute best way for you to support this podcast, if you feel that there's value here and that I've been helping you out a little bit along the way, the best possible thing you could do is go to Apple Podcasts and actually write a review. Don't just give us the 5 stars. Hey, I'm grateful for that. And if that's all you want to do, I'm not going to complain. But the absolute best thing you can do to support this podcast would be to go over to Apple Podcasts and write a review, because here's what happens if you do it. No, it's not me trying to win a popularity contest or I'm feeling rather needy. What happens is the more positive reviews a podcast gets, the higher it gets ranked within the search engine within Apple Podcasts. And what they want to do is they want to give you the best stuff first, right? Why should you have to sort through all the crap? So the more you guys give this feedback, give this podcast positive feedback over on Apple Podcasts, the higher it's going to be ranked, and then other people like you can find it and they can get this free help that I offer. Okay, so if you could, it's very rare, if you've been listening to me for a while, you know it's very rare that I say, hey guys, could you help me out? This is the way that not only can you help me out, but I think a lot of your peers right now, especially with the pandemic, COVID-19, we all sure could use a few good ideas to help us maybe turn this year around. Wouldn't that be awesome? So enough of that. That's a long time for me to be kind of beating around the proverbial bush. And I notice the older I get, the more older I sound, because I'm like using these old antiquated sayings like beat around the bush. So sorry about that, but not sorry. So today, our topic is going to be, how can we improve upon our cold calling skills without having to find the big answer and without this turning into something where it's just so many hours that we have to put in to try and get even a little bit better. A lot of the time, that's what keeps us from improving, because, okay, how do I even do it? Where do I find the answer? I don't have hours and hours and hours and hours to do this. Maybe even a little bit of impatience, right? We all get a little impatient, but I just need it now. I can't take all day to do this or all year, especially with this crazy year that we've had. And the other thing that I want to tell you before I give you the solution and just give you lots of ideas this week. In fact, this is an episode that if you aren't in the car, you really want to have a notebook handy, because there's a lot of ideas that I don't want you to lose. Because when we commit things to memory, you know what happens. We get a million other things we're thinking about and then we forget it. But here's the thing with a lot of us, really in life, it's not just sales. I find that we're always in search of, whether consciously or subconsciously, kind of the big answer or the big fix, right? It could be your dieting. You want to find that one thing that you could do that makes all the difference. Or you want to find that big answer in sales that's going to get you in front of more opportunity. You want to find that big answer that's going to help you get more traction over on social media. You want to find that big answer that's going to help you close more business between now and year end. And, you know, the one thing I can say to you guys, having been in the trenches with you the whole time, in fact, not just the whole time, but I know this is going to shock a lot of you folks, because you probably thought I was in my 20s, but I've been in sales now for, 37 years. And I can tell you without any hesitation that if you're looking for the big answer, I'm sure you will end up, if you keep doing it, going to your grave empty-handed. Because I found that there really isn't a big answer. And more specifically, there's lots of tiny answers that we pass and we neglect because it isn't big enough, it isn't sexy enough, it isn't huge, all caps, neon lights, do this and change the world. And we miss out on a lot of things. So today we're going to be utilizing a concept that I've talked about before on the podcast. And the beautiful thing about this philosophy, if you will, is that you could apply it to any area of sales. It's not just going to be for cold calling. You could apply it to your closing skills. You could apply it to, you know, if you even want to get more specific than that, negotiation, your questioning skills. We can go outside of sales. We could say, again, those of you who are into fitness, it could be to, you know, improve upon an area within that. Could be in your relationships. It really doesn't matter. But this concept works across the board. So it's a little something called the aggregation of marginal gains. The aggregation of marginal gains. And this was brought to the surface. In fact, I believe this is a person who coined the phrase. And I believe he's now referred to as Sir Dave Brailsford or Sir David Brailsford. But Dave Brailsford was the performance director for the British cycling team. Now, no one in the history of that team had ever won the Tour de France. So he put in this very simple system where the approach under this aggregation of marginal gains would call for simple, tiny improvements. In fact, here's kind of a quote that Dave Brailsford had said. The 1% margin for improvement in everything that we do. So what happened was the British cycling team searched for 1% improvements in everything they did. Now, because again, this is a competitive sport, they really obsessed over that 1%. So it wasn't just in how they, you know, they went about cycling. It was even on the bikes themselves, little 1% improvements. Now, when Brailsford put this concept into play, he told everybody flat out, straight up, I'm going to be straight up with y'all, he said, but with a British accent and without the New York accent I put in there, right? This is why I don't do impersonations and I can't quit my day job. But when he put this into play, he said, this is going to be a six-year plan for us to be able to execute this whole strategy. Well, actually, it didn't happen in six. It happened in three. They won the Tour de France. So, first of all, I didn't tell you all that so that if you're at a party, you seem super intelligent and you have interesting shit to say. I'm telling you because we can rip off that concept. And that is a tip within a tip right there that I want you to think about. And I want you to put this into your playbook, if you will. A lot of times, the answer that we're looking for is outside of the area that we're looking to improve upon. So, yes, I mean, a lot of the time we're looking within sales for sales answers, right? I mean, you're listening to my podcast now. Perhaps you read my blog, Other Thought Leaders. You're embracing their content. But sometimes it's outside of that. Sometimes it's, in this case, competitive sports. So here's the big question. I mean, do we just want to go around telling cute stories about the British cycling team all day, or is there an effing point to this whole thing? So the million-dollar question here is, how can we apply this to cold calling, right? And remember, you could apply this to all areas of sales, all areas of your life, but today we're going to focus in on cold calling because really a lot of you have sales cycles that if you're able to pick up the pace a little now and get in front of more opportunities, you're going to be in better shape come the end of November, early December, when you start hearing people say, hey, you know what, call me back in January, call me back after the holidays. So that's why I picked this, just so you don't think, what did he do, put a bunch of topics in a hat and pull them out? Kinda. But no, this is the real reason. So how do we apply this to cold calling? I have several ideas. One last thing I just want to say before I get into a lot of specifics is I've obviously left a lot out here. So I don't want you to go through, oh my gosh, he should have talked about this and he missed that. What is this guy, a jackass? He forgot to talk. He sucks. Worst podcaster ever. And all of that could be true. We don't know yet, right? We've only been at this 10 years and 300 episodes. But the whole purpose of me giving you these is so that you come up with better ideas on your own. Because it's real easy to tell you, look for tiny improvements. Again, if you've been listening to me for a while, I love some of these sales sayings. Find the value. Hey, that's awesome. Everybody's going to nod their head in their room to that. But if you were to call that person out and say, how do I do that? Watch what happens. Because most people can't tell you that because they're just so used to saying something that everybody nods their head to. So this is kind of another one of those things. I don't want this to be something where I'm saying, hey, find the tiny improvements. Oh, okay, great. How do I do that? Okay, see you next week. And then I do a different topic. So what we want to do is we want to have a mindset. We're always trying to find the 1%. We're not looking for big answers. See, finding a tiny improvement, a lot easier than trying to find something massive. And by the way, the beautiful thing about focusing in on finding something tiny, and when you start getting really good at it, you're doing it every single day, and even across different areas of your life, so you build up the muscles then. And what happens is every once in a while is you're going to stumble on something that isn't 1%. You're going to be stumbling on a lot of things that's going to be a 5% improvement for you, 10%. You might even hit the jackpot. Who knows? But for now, it's the 1%. So you're going to hear pauses here and there because this is the time of year where my allergies kick in and I'm coughing, so I'm going to mute the button. So if you hear like a thing, don't think like I just died doing the podcast, which would be a hell of a way for me to go out. But no, it's me coughing and I didn't want to cough in your ear. So a few things that you could do leading up to your cold call, right? In terms of how can you find the 1% there? And again, some of this is meant to be a rhetorical type of question, but I want to get you thinking. These are things you have to kick around on your own because I don't want to just give you the answers. I want to teach you how to fish today. So leading up to the cold call, what can you do to warm it up first? Now, let me give you an idea that could be a 1% improvement for you. I talk a lot about using a reverse call to action. Remember, when you send an email, we send lots of emails in sales, right? A lot of prospecting emails. In fact, a lot of people now are sending more emails than they are making calls. So leading up to that call, what happens many times in the email, we have a call to action. Typical call to action would be reply to this email, click here, that type of thing. Right, or even asking a question, what's your schedule looking like this day or that day? With a reverse call to action, you're doing the opposite. You're not asking them to do anything. In fact, you're telling them what your next move is going to be. Now, you might be thinking, yeah, but how is that an effective tactic? Well, in and of itself, it's not an effective tactic. But if we marry it in with how you structure that email, remember, we're talking about leading up to the call to warm it up. So we're going to warm up in this context with an email, a reverse call to action email. So within the email, what you're going to do, another thing I talk about here a lot, is we're going to make them hungry. We don't want them walking away from that email with a full belly. We want to use, and I call it potato chips, to make them hungry. What do we make them hungry for? Well, why? The call. That's what we're making them hungry for. So within it, you might reference something that you notice that's maybe a trigger event. And we're going to be talking about trigger events today, but trigger event is something that's going on in their world that would lead to a higher probability of them needing you, needing your widget, needing your solution, or at least needing to talk with you. And right now, folks, we have perhaps one of the biggest trigger events going on in hundreds of years. We have a pandemic and all the things that brings about with companies. But there's all other kinds of trigger events too that we'll talk about. But perhaps you notice something and you realize that you're able to help them. So in this reverse call to action email, you're referencing it and you're starting right off right out of the gate. Hey, I noticed that you're hiring a bunch of new sales reps in your Long Island, New York branch. So we're starting with something that's of interest to them because this person is involved in that. Okay, now you're talking my language. Okay, I see you did your homework. Now what you're going to do with the potato chips is you make them hungry. I have a few ideas, and you could say something as simple as, I have a few ideas that might be able to help you. And I'm actually going to be calling you on, and you give them the date. So I might say, you know, I'm going to be calling you on September 15th at 11:15 a.m. Hoping you'll take my call because, again, I have a few things that, you know, they've worked well in the industry. I'm hoping they can help you too. Or, you know what, I have a few ideas that have been helping a lot of your peers navigate the pandemic. I'm going to be calling you on September 17th at 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. Now, I'm actually not going to be calling anybody at that time on September 17th at 11:30 a.m. Eastern time, because if I do, I'm going to have a lot of pissed off people that paid for my webinar. But I'm just saying it to illustrate the point, just because any smart ass is there. Oh, great, Castain, I pay for your webinar and now you're going off with the money and you're going to go now trying to sell more shit that you're not going to deliver on. No, it's not about that at all. So anyway, so that would be the reverse call to action email. That could be a 1% improvement for you. Try it and see if more people are picking up the phone when you call. You're building anticipation. The other thing you could do is you could take that same approach and you could change the vehicle. Now, the vehicle is how we deliver the message, how we get it to them. It's almost like, what kind of ride you got, Castain? Well, I see you got that 1999 Nissan Sentra shitbox in your driveway, but what kind of ride is Castain driving these days, right? It's how we get there, how we get the message to them. So one of the things that I've talked a lot about here is the embedded email approach. Again, this is prior to the call, to warm it up, to build anticipation, make them hungry, right? We're not looking to fill the belly, we want to make them hungry. So with the embedded video email, what we're doing is you shoot a quick video on your smartphone. And what you do, you can go on Amazon, and I just bought another one because I gave the last one to my son, and you could buy a little dry erase board. And the one that I just bought set me back $12. I think you could make that back if this idea works in your commission. And if you don't, you got to talk to your boss about the shitty commission structure that he or she has you on. That's unacceptable. But you get a dry erase board. And let's just say you're sending an email to Mary. On that board, I want you to write, "Hi, Mary." Right? Definitely, if you're sending it to Tom, don't write, "Hi, Mary." He's going to get real shitty with you. Knock your jaw loose. So he's going to write, "Hi, Mary." And you're going to start the video by holding it up, your smiling face. The reason why you're going to start with that is because, see, that's going to be the picture that video is going to freeze frame on and get embedded into your email. When I tell you how easy it is to embed it, you don't even have to really have any aptitude for technology to do this, because it's actually an app that does it for you, and it's free, which is even better. So what you do is you do that, and then in the video, you just kind of do what I told you to do in that reverse call to action email, except you're going to be speaking it. What's beautiful about these embedded video emails is that I believe it's harder to say no to someone who's kind of looking you in the eye, or both eyes if you have two, and just kind of, you know, has that little sign, "Hi, Mary," smiling, and they're talking to you. And they've obviously put some care into this because they're referencing something that they had to do their homework to know. So they obviously aren't mass producing this. The fact that they're taking the time and care to shoot a quick video, right? And also now during the pandemic, I think we're craving more of the social interaction, the human to human type of selling, instead of something static and impersonal, and in many cases robotical too. So you do that and you try that. So that's another way that you can have that 1% improvement. And the free app that I referenced, it's called Vidyard. And there's two of them, but the one that I recommend is Vidyard, V-I-D-Y-A-R-D. It's free. You can put it right on your smartphone. I have an iPhone, by the way, and I shoot these videos. And, you know, when you shoot these videos, it can't be War and Peace. I do about a 58, 59 second email or video, if you will. And then the app does the rest. It embeds it into an email for you. How cool is that? Right? Nice and easy. Easy freaking peasy. So that could be a 1% improvement for you. I mean, but there's other ways leading up to the actual call that we can warm it up. How about things on LinkedIn? There's some things that you could do there. If they're in the office, could you drop something off? Could you send snail mail? Could you, send a FedEx? If texting works for you, I'm not a big fan of it. But again, I don't want to keep you from a good idea because I don't like it. You know, maybe that's something that you can do. So leading up to the call, and I've left out lots of things, the question is, where is there a 1% opportunity for you to improve? And what's, again, beautiful about searching for 1%, there's lots of 1% ideas out there for you to find. Notice I didn't say, okay, what's one all caps huge area that you can improve upon? Oh man, we're all going to be sitting here with blank stares trying to come up with the big answer. Next. When it comes to going into the call, here's another area. Again, we're going to leave a lot out today. No time for all the little 1% things. How about becoming more disciplined when you schedule calling time? How are you doing with that? Is there an opportunity for you to improve upon that by 1%? Do you allow distractions to come in when you're supposed to be on the call, like making outbound calls at 10:15 a.m.? And you find a lot of times that 10:15 sometimes doesn't even happen. Other times 10:15 is 10:45. And you don't add more time on to the end like you really like a grown-up would do. What you do is you just cut your time short by 30 minutes. Think about how many times you did that over the last year and over the course of your career. It's a huge block in there of time that just got lost for you to hunt for more opportunities. How about managing your interruptions? Is there an opportunity for 1% improvement there? Are you the kind of person that when you're making outbound calls, you'll take every inbound call? If you're working in an office environment, maybe chit-chatting or shooting the shit with some of your coworkers, is there a 1% opportunity on Monday mornings to maybe get down to business a little bit sooner instead of maybe how much time it takes for you to shake off the weekend? Maybe the same thing on Friday afternoons, just kind of mentally checking out. I mean, I can go on and on with this 1% stuff. Next, how about, again, leading into the call, your pre-call planning? How about your research? Where are you researching? What tools are you using for that? Is there a 1% opportunity there? And when you are researching, what are you looking for? And, you know, what kind of things? A lot of times people know they're supposed to research, but what are you looking for? And one of the things we talked about before is one of the things you should be looking for is a trigger event. Because the beautiful thing about trigger events, I remember reading this, and it was a gentleman by the name of Brian Carroll who had mentioned this, that when we find opportunities that originated from a trigger event, there is a 400% higher probability of closing that deal. Let me say that one again, just in case. Like, I think he said that. I did say that. There is, when we find opportunities that have derived from a trigger event, there is a 400% higher probability of closing that deal. And with the year that we've all had and coming up on year end, I think we could all use a few more deals like that, right? That wouldn't be a bad thing. I don't think you'd call me up and say, Castain, you suck. How dare you? I've been finding more deals with 400 that are closing at a 400% higher rate. You suck. So that's one of the things that I want you to think about. Also, one of the things that you should be thinking about, you should always be thinking about this, but right now especially, you have two major things right now where we are in the year, because right now, for those of you who are going to be listening to this at a later date, it's September 13th. And we have two major challenges ahead. And one challenge is having a compelling reason to meet now versus after the holidays. But the other one is having a compelling reason to meet now versus kind of after the pandemic. Because you have a lot of people right now with a wait and see attitude, or a lot of people that are just simply saying, you know what, you know, we just can't, you know, put any resources on finding a solution for this right now because we're fighting for our lives. So one of the best things that you can do, and you could find more than a 1% improvement here, is to come up with at least three compelling reasons to meet now versus after the holidays. So that'll be one assignment that you can do. The other assignment is come up with at least three compelling reasons why there should be a conversation or a meeting now versus after the pandemic. So that's something you can do. And you know what? There could be a third category in there too. If you have a lot of people telling you, well, we got to see what happens with the election or whatever, you can even have three compelling reasons to meet now versus after the election. So that's something. So that's leading up to the call. The other thing too is thinking about, what is your objective for that phone call? Now, this is where a lot of you are going to say, duh, to make the sale, or duh, to set the appointment, the demo, the needs analysis, that kind of thing. And you would be partially right, but the objective for every call isn't going to be to advance to that next step, especially during a pandemic. Seriously, I've been saying this for months, that because the sales cycles now are much longer thanks to the pandemic, we can't have every call, every email, every interaction, every outreach that we do be, hi, I want to sell you something. Hi, I want to set an appointment so I could sell you something. Hi, I'd like to set up a discovery call so I could sell you something. Hi, I'd like to set up a needs analysis so I could sell you something. That is going to get old real quick. So you have to have different flavors and different objectives. But last but not least here, leading up to the call and part of your pre-call planning, is you got to know what your next move is going to be after that move. So in other words, if I'm calling you right now, I've got to think about, well, okay, if I get voicemail, which there is just a really high probability that I'm going to get voicemail, what's my next move? Now, some of you, I know what you're going to say to that. You're going to say, well, you hang up and you call them again. I don't know that that's the best thing. Sometimes it is, but, you know, sometimes, I don't know, call me crazy, but leaving an actual message, they hear your voice, you start to build propinquity, right? Which is that nearness and closeness and kinship. We do this by continually bumping into people. And the other thing that a voicemail can do for us, if we know what the next move is going to be, is we can use the reverse call to action again. So when we're leaving the voicemail message, we could say whatever it is that we would say. And at the end, we could say, I'm actually going to be emailing you tomorrow with, you know, a really cool PDF that's designed to help you through the pandemic, or to help you with that hiring, or to help you with the new website that I see that you guys are building. Whatever it is, right? Maybe tie it back to that trigger event. But if you know what the next move is, what you can now start to do is get every form of outreach that you're doing marching in unison instead of operating in a silo. And that's a very big opportunity for 1%, probably 10 or 20% improvement, because most of us do our prospecting in very choppy pieces, standalone pieces, instead of working in unison. So what do I mean by working in unison? Well, if I know what my next move is going to be, I can leave a message and say that I'm actually going to be in your area tomorrow between 1:30 and 3. I'm going to drop something off. I'm going to ask for you at the front desk. And I simply want to say the world's quickest hello and you know, hand this to you in person or whatever. Right? I could also say, maybe in the message instead, I say, I want you to watch for a really cool FedEx that's going to be coming your way on, you know, in 48 hours from now. I could even say, I'm going to be calling you back at this day and this time. I'm hoping you'll carve aside a little bit of time to take my call, because I actually have a few ideas that can help you with that new product launch that you're doing, help you with that hiring that a lot of your competitors have been embracing during the pandemic. See, things like that are of value to a decision maker, and that's going to change the whole flavor of your call when you're reaching out to them. But again, we're looking for little 1% improvements. So what else can we do? Well, we can look at your opening statement. Where is there a 1% chance, you know, an opportunity to improve it by 1%? I'll give you one right out of the gate. Most opening statements, whether they be in an email or in a cold call, begin by focusing on the wrong person. We begin by focusing on us. Hi, it's Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and we're a full service sales training and coaching and blah, 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 blah. And I say blah, 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 blah there to be very accurate, because after that point, that's all they're hearing. It's like that wop, 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 right? You like that impersonation I did? Probably not. That's why I'm a sales trainer. See, I know what I'm doing. But with the opening statement, instead, if you were in those key critical moments, those first few seconds of the cold call, if you were to open it up like something like this, you know, hi Mary, it's Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems. And just as a quick aside, whether you say how are you or not, I'm not going to say it right now. You guys do whatever you do there. I just want to call attention to the point. Hi Mary, it's Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems. Quick question. Now when you do quick question, I want you to think about it. Don't most people perk up when you say something like quick question? Yeah, what's up? Shoot, right? And it's different. It's off script because you're not starting off the same shitty way as everybody else does. So hi, Mary, Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems. Quick question. I noticed that, and now you're going to reference the trigger event that you noticed. I noticed that you guys are launching a new product in June. Or I noticed that you guys are hiring a bunch of sales reps. I noticed that You're looking for a new vice president of sales, right? I'm talking right now when I use those examples, I'm talking about some of the triggers that when I see those types of things, I know that they might be in need of my services and have a higher probability of hiring me to help. So that right there could be a 1% improvement. A lot better than me starting out with something they don't give a shit about, which is talking about me and my company and my solution. I'd rather lead with them. That's the shit they're thinking about. And certainly, if I can establish that in the first 8 seconds of a phone call, I believe I bought myself another 8 seconds. And the purpose of that 8 seconds is to buy myself another 8 seconds. And if we do it just like this 1%, 8 seconds at a time, 10 seconds at a time, watch how the magic kind of begins with your calls and you change the trajectory of that call. So moving right along, you know, a 1% opportunity would be, you know, are you using evidence in your call? Evidence, we talk a lot about that on this podcast. Evidence are things that we use to help reduce the probability of doubt, fear. Right now, there's a lot of fear in the world. Hesitation, there's a lot of hesitation. And even to kind of reduce the probability of an objection, because the best way for you to quote unquote handle an objection is not to get it in the first place, to kind of head it off at the pass and make it more difficult for somebody to throw an objection, which means that now we have to have a more solid opening statement and keep them away from that kind of default blow off. Yeah, I'm all set. Not interested. Yeah, send me some information. We're under contract. Call me back after Groundhog Day. So you might want to think about that. So some forms of evidence would be a fact, an example, would be things like studies and case studies and stuff. And you might be thinking, well, how the heck do you use a case study on a phone call? Well, you can, or you can have that as part of your warm-up. You could put that in, you know, the email. You could even allude to that, give them a potato chip, and then feed them and just kind of give them the bullet points of a case study right from the industry, maybe something relevant to them. Now, there's other things too that are not necessarily things that you could do on a call, but you might use kind of in concert with the call. Remember, we want all these things marching in unison. When I say all these things, all the outreach, whether it be the cold calls, whether it be email, snail mail, LinkedIn, text messages, that kind of thing. We want all of this creative things that we do to march together. So some other things for you to think about would be things like a demo, a video, things like samples. That could be another thing that could be good. Testimonials, that's a huge one. Social proof. Oh my gosh, that is especially right now what their peers are saying, because right now, and what happens a lot of the time, when we're going through a trying time, which we've been now for what, 6, 7, I've lost track how long it's been, 6 months, whatever, the better part of the year, what happens is that when you finally, after you've ducked, you know, you duck and run for cover, at some point you poke your head out. And you want to like kind of look across the way. What are they doing? How are they, you know, how did they fare throughout this whole thing? But they're doing that by looking at their competitors, looking at other people in the industry. And I even did that in the beginning. I remember saying to myself, I wonder how other sales trainers are navigating this kind of new landscape that we have. I remember saying that to myself and asking myself that question a week into this. So that's what happens. So if you can reference some things, some different forms of social proof, which one form I gave you already, testimonials, it could be online reviews. Again, it could be case studies. It could even be references, by the way, because these are what other people. In other words, it kind of answers that question. Well, who says so besides yourself? Analogies are a form of evidence. You could use that right in your conversation with somebody on a cold call. Stories are huge. That's something right there. It could be not only a 1% improvement, it could be a 20% improvement. Stories are huge right now because they're not salesy, because this is the way human beings have learned from the beginning of time. So now that I've beaten the hell out of that one, you know, your call to action. Is there a 1% area of improvement right there that you can embrace. How you're going about asking for, you know, the appointment or whatever it is. Also, too, you know, how you respond to objections. Is there a 1% opportunity there for you as well? Now, there's an objection exercise that you can do, and I gave you a little homework assignment before, but again, I just want to make sure that I reiterate this, because if you didn't write it down, you probably forgot about it by now. But I want you to come up with three responses to, number one, your typical objections that you get. So, and I want you to do it for each one of the typical ones. So what are some of the typical ones that you hear? You hear not interested? Do you hear a version of we're all set or we're under contract? So, you know, we have a vendor for that. Could it be I don't have time, I'm too busy? But then I want you to come up with three responses to the call me back after the holidays one. And then finally, come up with three responses to, well, you know what, we're not doing anything right now because of the pandemic, or, you know, call me, you know, in a few months when this blows over, or once this blows over or whatever, feel free to reach out to me again. And your job is to come up with three responses. And the reason why I want you to come up with three is because you set the bar high by doing that. And now you are training yourself to train tougher than reality. Because in a real situation, you don't need three responses. You need one. But if you have that confidence level going into a call, knowing that not only can I respond to you, but I can choose how I want to respond to you. Watch what happens with your confidence level. It's completely different than in many ways how it might be right now. Next, you know, some other things that you can do for the 1% improvement. Search, do a search on Google. Do a search for cold calling tips. As of about an hour ago, when I was doing a little bit of last minute research for the podcast, I noticed that search came back with, you ready for this? 148 million results. And today is, again, September 13th. So as of September 13th, 148 million results. Tell me you can't find a tip there. And it's not just consuming the idea. It's not just consuming this podcast today. It's getting out there and trying it on for size. That's how you find your 1%. Doing. Not, well, I learned something. No, that means dick. Sorry, it does. Doing is the big thing here. It's not consuming it. It's not listening to all this stuff on cold calling. That's not going to make you better on cold calling. And if you think I'm kidding, what if I read a whole mess of stuff on being a pilot? Would you get in the plane with me? Hell no. You're an idiot if you do. Jackass. Anyway, get me started. You could also go on Amazon, do a search for cold calling books. I just did it. 828 results. Tell me you can't find 1% there. I know, God forbid you have to throw down some cash and invest in yourself. I know, it's horrible. What's this guy Castain thinking about? Making me spend upwards of $25 on improving myself. I just want free shit. But anyway, how about calling a successful rep in your organization? Or outside your organization, but within the organization, call a successful rep. Now, the biggest thing you got to do, and I learned this being a musician, and I've been playing guitar forever, even though you could never tell if you listened to me. But what I learned is there are a lot of these really good guitar players, but when you try, you know, just to ask, oh, wow, how do you do that? They have a hard time deconstructing it because it's more intuitive for them. So what you have to be prepared to do is not just, you know, you have to be prepared to help them deconstruct. And the way that you do that is not by asking them general questions like, so how do you do it? You know, how do you set all these appointments? Some people, you know, you'll hit the jackpot with that, but most are not going to be able to break it down because they don't make note of every awesome thing they do. Oh, wow, that's another awesome thing I did. Note to self. Boy, I'm awesome when I start a call off. Boy, I'm awesome with my pre-call planning research and setting objectives. Man, I'm awesome at having three. No, they don't think that way. So you have to break it down. You almost have to pretend you're interviewing them for something and help them break it down. I mean, I've even, when I've talked to successful reps, because I'm really into this kind of shit, I will ask people, hey, let me ask you a question. Tell me what you're thinking about before you pick up that phone. You know, let's get into your psychology. What are you thinking about? Is there any kind of a ritual that you do to get yourself in the zone? I ask that question because I see it in sports all the time. People go through these rituals when, you know, before they throw the pitch or whatever. And it's just kind of getting themselves in the zone. And I want to know what they're doing. So things like that help them deconstruct. But also, too, how about brainstorming this topic with your team? You can have everybody come to a meeting. Make it brief because you want to be in meetings all day because that sucks doing that. I hate meetings. I like productive meetings, but even I don't want to be in a productive meeting all day. I want to be in the damn fight, man. Put me in, coach. But, you know, brainstorm the stuff with the team. Have everybody bring some ideas that they've been working on. It could be COVID-19 related. You know, how are you setting appointments right now? And have people come there with solutions, not a piss and moan fest. Oh, well, that's just it. It sucks. No, I mean, you don't need to take people out of the field for that. But have them, like, you want solutions. What are you doing about it? What are you saying? And again, it doesn't have to be COVID-19 related, but you get the idea. The other thing that you could do, if you work in an office environment, you're back, you're not just working from home anymore, and some of you are back in an office, what you could do is maybe have one of your teammates listen in. Somebody, a teammate in sales would be ideal, by the way. When I say teammate, listen in and evaluate some of your calls and give you some feedback. Ask your boss. I'm sorry. I felt like I was yawning as I said that. Ask for some feedback. Sorry. It's like I just woke up and I'm just telling you the first thing I thought of as I'm like wiping the sleep from my eyes. You know, asking, let me say it again without the yawn, ask your boss for feedback. Also, too, the concept of game tape is a great way for you to find 1% improvements. Record your end of your phone calls and evaluate that call. Evaluate what you're saying, how you're saying it, how you're responding to things. Identify moments where you lost control of that call. Identify moments, too, where you did something awesome and make a note to self to do it again. But also, too, the other thing that you can do, and we talked about this recently, is video your calls. Well, why would you do that, right, if you're recording it? Because it's important that you know what you look like when you're making your calls, because how you look is how you sound. That's why a lot of people will have a mirror on their desk when they're making outbound calls. So you kind of remember to smile and everything else. But a lot of the time, we're not aware of what we look like. Again, person at the other end can't see you, but they can hear you. And they can get the vibe. And if you think I'm kidding, you know, most of us agree that you can sort of hear a smile over the phone. But the opposite is true. You can kind of hear, you know, that nasty look on your face when, you know, you got, when you're not having a good day. I almost said like more profanity, but we don't need any more this week. You know, the other thing that you could do that would be a good 1% opportunity for you is to use, and we did a podcast on this one too, I call it the 3 conversation method. And what I mean by that is it's a great way to evaluate things. You can look at when you make a cold call, look at the conversation that you had, you know, what did you plan to have, the conversation you plan to have. And that's going to take into everything that's really leading up to the call. How did you plan for it? A lot of people don't plan for a call. Hell, that's more than 1% improvement right there if you start actually planning and doing research, having an objective, that kind of thing. So that's the first conversation that you need to evaluate. What was the conversation that I planned to have with ABC Industries? Then there's the conversation that you actually have, because we plan one way and sometimes it goes another way, right? Once we you know, go live with it. So that's the second conversation, the conversation you actually have. But the third one is kind of the money conversation. What is the conversation after it's done that you actually wish you had? Whether you're evaluating the game tape or you're running back the mental videotape of that call. But that's where you're going to find plenty of 1% opportunities. But I guess I shouldn't have to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Provided that you tell your ego to leave the room and you embrace this from a perspective of humble student and not an egotistical shit that thinks he has it all figured out, because none of us do. Seriously, if you're a person who is entirely too full of himself or herself, this is your wake-up call, because you need to lose that. Tell your ego to leave the room and get back to becoming, you know, be back to that humble student. When we're a humble student, we're open to ideas. When we let the ego get in the way and thinks it's protecting us, it's not. It's keeping us from the most valuable thing in all situations. Because I remember reading in a book, and it wasn't very eloquent, but in every situation, you have the yes, meaning, you know, things worked out the way that you had planned, the way that you hoped they would. Sometimes you have the no. Well, things didn't work out quite so well. But whether it's a yes or a no, the most important thing is the lesson. And you can't possibly get the lesson if your ego is there telling you, well, I know that. That sells 101. Everybody knows that. I did nothing wrong. This person's an asshole. You are not going to get the lesson that way. And we have an awful lot of that in sales. We are probably the most egotistical profession on the planet after entertainment and sports and things of that nature. But we're right up there. So maybe that's a big 1% chance. And by the way, when I say things like this, I don't want you to think this is me being that judgmental sales trainer who doesn't know. I can tell you that I went through a period of that. I went through a very big change that I had to make with the ego. And it usually comes when you start getting a lot of success. And whether it be a lot of success in selling or a lot of thought leaders, when they first start getting a lot of people acknowledging them, they kind of forget that, hey, you know what? Sometimes you're wrong. You know what? A lot of times there's a lot of people out there know more than you. And whether they know more than you or less than you, it doesn't matter. You can still learn from them. So I say that as somebody who learned that the hard way, not as somebody who thinks everybody else has to improve, but, you know, yours truly. The other thing that you can do is, and this is really the final thing, because we're really, you know, into a little bit of overtime here. You really want to look at really everything you do in sales, but your cold calls, with one burning question that's always there. Everything that you do, I don't care if you're planning the call. I don't care if you're having the call. I don't care if you're evaluating the call. I don't care if you're out there scouring the interwebs looking for some kind of a tidbit in those 148 million results you're going to get when you Google cold calling tips. There is a burning question that you need to have, and it's simply, what's my 1% opportunity? See, if you do that, the beautiful thing about 1% is it stacks on top of the other 1% that you've done, and then it stacks on the other 1%. And if you were to do this, just even over the course of a year, it would blow your mind how much improvement you've made, but you're not feeling it. Because we're not out there doing something massive. These things that I've suggested to you are only suggestions. I'm hoping that they spark better things that you come up with. Also, too, as we said before, this isn't all the answers. These are just things to get you going. There's a lot more we could have talked about. But that's going to be up to you. But could you imagine if you were to do all, even a fraction of what I said here, if you were to find a few new opportunities? But again, what I was saying before is that we're really not talking about anything here. Any of these ideas that I gave you today, they're not things that you're going to be huffing and puffing and all sweaty afterwards, right? These aren't things that are very difficult to do. In fact, if you really look back, I mentioned beginning of the podcast, this is 10 years of the podcast, and today's the 300th episode. If you've been with me for a while, riding shotgun in your car, and I've been riding shotgun in the car, you know that these ideas that I offer are not complicated. Seriously. And a lot of people dismiss them because they're not sexy enough. They're not sophisticated enough. They're not complicated enough. And then they have somebody else zipping on by them who's just doing the little things that are neglected because everybody's looking for the big, sexy answer. So there you have it, folks. Last but not least, I'm hoping that you'll come join us on, it's going to be this Thursday, September 17th. We're going to be doing a little something called Cold Calls That Rock. And I'm going to be giving you a lot of opportunities there for 1% improvements. And it's going to be from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And of course, if you can't join us live, I always record these so you can get the webinar replay and all the goodies that I always include. So not only am I going to be offering probably a good 25 tactics and tips and all kinds of good stuff, of course I'm going to be giving you a lot of extras like phone scripts and templates, but here's where this webinar is going to be different than the other ones I've done, certainly the other webinars that are out there. There's going to be a lot of exercises that I'm going to give you as kind of a bonus. I'm going to give you a bonus PDF with exercises that I've designed to help you build your prospecting, specifically cold calling, muscle groups. So these are some things. Hey, you go to the gym and you do exercise to build your muscles. And a lot of people think, well, the way that you build your muscles with cold calling is to just do it. No, that's not the only way that you do it. Seriously, that's not. We've just oversimplified something there. So I have a few, it's about half a dozen exercises that I'm going to be including. And then the other little bonus that I'm going to be offering, and I probably shouldn't say this because I was going to wait till the webinar, but you remember how I gave you guys an assignment to come up with three responses for the different types of scenarios, whether it be call me back after, you know, when the smoke clears from the pandemic, call me back after the holidays, also three responses for each of your standard objections, like not interested, under contract. The really cool thing that I'm going to offer is that if you guys are in the webinar and you do the homework assignment, which this is going to be the homework assignment, if you hand it in to me, I'll give you feedback. So you're going to get the same kind of feedback that my coaching clients that spend $2,000 for my coaching program are getting. You're going to get it as part of the $99 webinar. So if you'd like to learn more, I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/cold calls. yoursalesplaybook.com/cold calls. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Subscribe to our blog by visiting yoursalesplaybook.com/subscribe.